San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, May 19, 2024. Today's lesson is Fear versus Faith with our guest speaker, Reverend Mark Obkamp.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the song we just heard from Jasmine Murray was Fearless. And that basically mirrors my talk, so we're done for the day. No, just kidding. But it's very interesting, because as I was going through looking for music, I knew what my closing song was going to be, but I could not find an opening song that I was happy and satisfied with for this talk. Nowhere. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, as I was looking at the closing song, this song came up, and it's like, it was the perfect song. I don't know why I looked so hard. I didn't have to. You know, divine guidance would have given it to me, and I would have had a lot less time worrying about other things. So today's talk is Faith Over Fear, and you're going to hear this a lot during today's talk. False evidence appearing real. So as I begin this morning, let us anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And we here at this center call this one power God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we anchor ourselves in this truth every Sunday because we truly believe in the creative power of the one mind, and we know that it is truly responsible for all that is. If there were even one thing out of balance with this ideology, there would be none of this and none of us. Everything is in perfect balance, exactly as it should be. Remember that there is a power far greater than any of us in this universe, and we can use it. We are strong individually, and we are strong together. And we need to remember that, because fear is based on what we as humankind have created. I'm using this power, this one power, that infinite intelligence right now as I chat with you this morning. And you are using it by being patient enough to sit here and listen to what I have to say. So let us think about the topic of today's lesson. And as we do, there are a couple of things that I would like you to remember. Now, the name of today's lesson is Fear versus Faith. And in the glossary of the Science of Mind textbook, written by our founder, Ernest Holmes, he describes fear as the antithesis of faith. It is the negation of confidence. Like faith, fear may be conscious or subjective, and it is to be eliminated. It must be removed, both consciously and subjectively. He also points out from the Holy Scriptures that perfect love casteth out fear. Think about that. Love casts out fear. And to fear not, little flock, just like us here today, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And where is the kingdom? Oh, come on. I ask a question. You can shout out an answer. Okay. So it's right here within. The kingdom of God, the gifts of the kingdom, are right here within, with us always. How great is that? All we have to do is understand that and believe that and have faith. which we're going to talk a little bit more about as we move on. In Science of Mind, now called Centers for Spiritual Living, we have a much easier way of referring to fear. So I'm going to ask another question, and I know that we all have the answer to this because I gave it to you already. Do you know what the acronym for fear is?
False evidence appearing real.
There you go. It's false evidence appearing real. I want you to remember this because we will be talking more about false evidence and the ego a little later this morning. Remember this definition and acronym because there will be a quiz later. Just kidding. Okay, also in the glossary, Ernest Holmes gives us a definition for faith. He tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a mental attitude, so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it. Remember that the mind can no longer deny it. There's going to be a lot of talk a little bit during this talk about mind and mind control and the ego, because the ego has a lot to do with fear. If the mind cannot deny it, then at that point, it's going to become truth. He goes on to say that faith is complete when it is both a conscious and subjective acceptance. Faith may be consciously generated. In spiritual terminology, faith means a belief in the presence of an invisible principle and law, which directly and specifically responds to us, as in, thy faith has made thee whole. So what I believe about faith is that if it is in the conscious mind, it is basically a foundation of faith. But until there is no doubt or questioning, there is simply the subjective mind at work, that knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt the truth of any situation, that is faith. This is when we reach the point of questioning no longer and just allow ourselves to know the truth. The truth that there is a higher power at work within us and that it is acting in perfect alignment with our thoughts. And if the manifestation is anything less than what we had expected, then we need to either get out of the way of our own doubts or clouded thought process or tell our ego to calm down or go away. Now remember, I said that we would talk some more about false evidence appearing real. Here it comes. How did the false evidence manifest itself? Do you know where fear is based? It all starts from our egos. Yes, straight from our bloated nothingness, as Ralph Waldo Emerson would say. And there are also different kinds of fear. How many of you have heard of being in fear as being a fight or flight response? So what this means is that when those doubts start casting shadow, there are two basic instincts that we are going to have. We are either going to run away from the situation, or we are going to hang around and confront it head on. And sometimes it's best to run away. Sometimes it's best to face it head on. Now, to be honest, it is my belief, and my belief only, that there are a lot of variables on these two basic instincts. And I'm sure that you're sitting there in this moment saying to yourself, but what if? And I completely agree. What if? What happens if you can't run away or capable of combat in a situation? What happens if you are simply frozen in the moment? How many of you can visualize a deer frozen in the headlights? Literally, it can't move. And it certainly doesn't want to get hit by that car that's coming toward it, but it can't move. Now let's change the scenario a little bit. It's a dark night. You are in the middle of nowhere. And it's far, far after dark. And somehow your car has managed to become stuck on the railroad tracks in a railroad crossing. You are alone and trying to move your vehicle off the tracks. Your engine simply will not start. You realize that the tracks turn from a little bit before where you are stuck, and the area before your vehicle is beginning to get lighter. Hopefully you are not going to stay in your car and start honking your horn, because more than likely, the train engineer will not hear you. And since the tracks are curved just slightly before it gets to the point where you are, he's not going to see you either. And even if he did, trains do not stop on a dime. So at that point, and we will all view this differently, what is going to be your first instinct? Are you going to be frozen in your seat and either keep blowing your horn or trying to get out of the car or try to get the car to start? Or as the light around you continues to get brighter and brighter, are you going to get out of your car, realizing that it's going to be totally smashed and that you don't want to be? Or are you just going to know that everything is going to be all right and sit there? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm going to get out of the car. I am not going to sit there. For myself, if I'm not completely frozen to the point where I'm not capable of doing anything, I'm going to get out. And I'm going to get as far away from the tracks as possible. Because I know when that car gets hit, it's not going to just stay on the tracks. Remember, as I get out of the car, I'm remembering one other little minor detail. What about my dog? Where is she? Is she still in the car? Did she get out all right? Is she anywhere around the tracks? And I can see the train rounding the bend. I call for my dog, Molly, just as the train reaches my car. There's a huge explosion, but I am safe. And as my knees hit the ground, because, you know, that fear will do stuff to you. And yeah, it took me out. But at least it took me out away from the car. I feel Molly's tongue on my hand. She is safe as well. And even though my vehicle was dragged for about 3/4 of a mile, nobody was hurt in the situation. Nobody on the train, not myself, not Molly, and cars can be replaced. Was it a miracle or was it faith in action? I think it was a little bit of both, or maybe a lot of both. In Matthew 17:20, in the Lamsa translation of the Holy Bible, Jesus is credited as having said, "If there is faith in you, even as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move away from here,' and it will move away." In this example, Jesus is using a mountain as a metaphor for anything that seems impossible to move through or run away from. And I'll be bringing this back up again soon. Also, except where otherwise noted, if I bring up a biblical reference today, it will be from the Lamsa translation of the Bible. So the example that I just gave you may not make sense at the moment, but I promise you, it will all fit together soon. In the Science of Mind textbook on page 404, paragraph 2 and 3, Ernest Holmes tells us that fear is the great enemy of man. But fear is a mental attitude, and as such, can be converted into something else. So remember, a few minutes ago when I said fear is ego-based and false evidence appearing real, if we allow it to, fear, or our ego, will completely control us. How many of you have met someone who is always waiting for the other shoe to drop? Yeah, I see all of us pretty much nodding our heads. Have you ever met someone who has all the luck in the world, But unfortunately, it is all bad luck? Yeah, I thought so. Do you know why this happens? Because of their stinking thinking. Believe me, if people expect nothing but terrible things to befall them, where do you think their faith lies? I would venture a guess as to say somewhere within that false evidence appearing real. So Uncle Ernie goes on to tell us that fear is the reverse mental attitude to faith. Fear brings limitation and lack in its wake and destroys the happiness and possibility of a greater degree of livingness to those who suffer from it. Fear blocks the more complete givingness of the spirit to its highest of manifestation on this planet, which is humankind. Holmes goes on to tell us that fear arises from that mental attitude which limits the possibility and the willingness of spirit, which can only give to the extent which we believe, to give us the good we so greatly desire. There is nothing wrong in the desire for self-expression. God is more completely expressed through the man who lives largely than through the man who lives meagerly. In other words, the gifts of the universe are ours, every single gift of the universe. That means everything is at our grasp, but only to the point that we believe or accept. So what else is fear? It becomes a belief in limitation and an inward denial that the divine is the center and source of all. And I say that with a capital A, all good. There is no bad in the universe. It's all good. It's just the way we choose to view it. Holmes goes on to say in paragraph 4, that we must do all we can to overcome fear, and reminds us of John 4:18, which tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is tormenting. He who fears is not made perfect in love. We're all love. We are 100% love. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we forget that. But we were created in love in the Creator's image. So, I like to think of the terms unconditional or unfiltered love. That's the love that we are. We don't need to put conditions on it. And that love is confidence and overcomes the depression of doubt. Of course, you realize that mental depression can manifest physical dis-ease and financial insecurity and a lot of other negative possibilities. What we think about, we bring about. So Holmes continues telling us that the psychology of economic cycles proves this. Think about this and think about our opening quote this morning from Dennis Merritt Jones. In the midst of plenty, humanity lives in what because of fear. We are in want because of fear. To overcome fear is the greatest adventure of the mind of man. So this got me thinking about some things. There are a lot of people talking about the doom, gloom, and sooner than later demise of this planet and mankind as well. They are talking about corporate greed and how so few have enough and how there's just nothing but lack and limitation. So if they are thinking this way, what will happen if their ways of thinking spread over the general populace. Well, I think we're starting to see that now. And I think that there are a lot of people that appear to be living in lack and limitation and not having enough, when actually they have enough. And there's more than enough to go around. Except, what if false evidence really becomes the norm? Earlier on, I mentioned having faith, the size of a mustard seed, and how that faith can move mountains. Well, think of a mountain in your life right now. Take a moment. And what is it going to take to move that obstacle from your path? And remember, as we move forward with faith instead of fear, we can conquer anything and everything, especially that which is just false evidence anyway. And if we begin to change the thought processes within ourselves, maybe we can begin to change the false evidence that seems to have fed this planet and its humankind and be the catalyst for change at the same time. Wow, all that responsibility on us. And you know what? There's no responsibility at all, because it's just spirit moving through our thought process. Remember that every mighty oak starts with an acorn being planted somewhere. So what if right here, right now, this morning, we are planting the seeds to change the false evidence appearing real around us? What if this morning, right here, we are saying, okay, this can be done. We can go back to having more than we need. We can always have more than we need. We don't have to just barely scrape by. The gifts of the kingdom are given to us, not only here within, but outside as well, because the gifts of the kingdom are always ours. So as I started to compose today's lesson, I decided to look up some biblical quotes that reference fear and faith. What I discovered is that there just happened to be 365 biblical quotes that refer to fear. 365. Where have we heard that number before? And you know, most of these quotes on fear assume that fear is already present and needs to be removed. So wow, one fear a day, one fear that needs to be removed a day. The Bible was written by man. Get where I'm going with this? Yeah. Okay, so actually I felt much more comfortable within the 60 plus quotes that were referencing and reflecting on faith. But for the record, let me share with you a few of the quotes that referred to fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we are told, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of good discipline." So right here it's telling us, we don't have to have that fear within us. We can have that love there instead. And it's also saying, fear might have been created by man. So in Joshua 1:9, we are told, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's a given if the power of the universe is within us. It goes wherever we go. It can't not go wherever we go. This is also referenced in John 10:30, where we are told that I and the Father are one. Of course we're one. We're all part of its creation. We can't be anything else. And in Matthew 6:34, we are told, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will look after itself. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble." Amen to that. Sometimes we need to take it one day at a time, or 1 hour, or 1 minute. And sometimes it's just one step in front of the next. But never give up, for in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I have strengthened you and have also helped you." And how often do we sometimes forget that? We are strengthened and we are helped along the way. We have the power to create within, but the universe always says yes. So what exactly is it that we're creating? As Jesus sat in the Garden of Gethsemane, we are told that he spoke these words, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but thine be done." And also from the English Standard Version of the Bible, Matthew 26:42, "My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done." So Jesus knew that he and the Father were one. And he knew what was to come. But as always, being the great example and not the great exception, his faith as opposed to his fear remained stronger. Well, we've talked quite a bit about fear today. But since this month's theme is living in faith, I would like to share some of my feelings about faith and how these days it goes for me. It is far more easy for me to walk in faith as opposed to fear. And what does fear stand for? Okay. So if you're always going to be walking with that false evidence and believing it to be real, you're not going to have the faith that you're going to walk through that fire. Not that you're going to want to try to walk through that fire, but, you know, if the storm is in front of you, you're going to probably need to walk through some rain now and then. So on page 404, paragraph 5 in the Science of Mind textbook, Holmes tells us that we should contact a larger field of faith. This is done by understanding that God is the giver and the sustainer of human life and expression. God, and I have this in capitals, is all there is. He is substance and supply. We must learn to accept this. If it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom, then it should be our privilege to accept the gift. He goes on to say, "The Spirit has not withheld good from us, but ignorance of the true law of supply has caused us to have fear." So, possibly, fear is an ignorance of the law of supply, and we feel that there's not enough when there's always enough. We should endeavor to stop limiting God. All things are given unto us, but we shall have to do the taking. God gives in the abstract, we receive in the concrete. The gift of heaven is forever made. The receiving of this gift is an eternal process of forever expanding the finite. In other words, we need to take away the limits that we put on receiving our good. We have to continue to be open at the top. After all, the infinite will give to the finite, but not become it. We did not create ourselves in our own image, but the divine did, and it is willing to give us all the good that we can receive. The gifts are received from the unseen, that which we could never completely understand or comprehend. The unseen is what creates the manifestation that we have in our mind, the thoughts that we have that are going to become that which is in the unseen. So that's where faith comes in. Our faith has to be in the unseen. We need to trust in the full process and know that it works. It could do nothing else. Knowing this will greatly help us overcome our fears. The universe is always working for our highest good. Whether our fears are of lack, pain, sickness, or death, it is always in a belief that there is something other than life, which is eternal. We can't escape that fact. Yes, we might, shed this human outer form that we have, but life, the soul, goes on. It doesn't end. And that's wherein lies our faith or our fear. Our faith lies in our soul. Our fear lies in our mind. So why are we allowing ourselves to remove ourselves from any form of pleasure, peace, success, or the heaven of God presence within each and every one of us? We are that God presence. We are that love. We are that light. And we really don't need to be anything else unless we believe we are. If we believe we're lack, if we believe we're not good enough, if we believe that we just are not worthy, then that's what we're going to end up being. Holmes also tells us on page 405, paragraph 4, love alone can overcome fear because love surrounds itself to the Spirit. It endures, it surrenders itself to the Spirit. That is, the law must come under subjection to the Spirit. The will of Spirit is peace, clear thinking, and happiness. It could have no other will. We must always remember that the Spirit guides us and the law executes. In other words, I know that you've heard this a lot of times before. What we think about, we bring about. If we trust in our good and have faith in the unseen moving through us and know that we know, good cannot help but manifest itself in our lives. And if we believe in our fears, then I wish you well. I will be knowing and believing in your highest good until you can know it for yourself. But there always comes a time when, if you choose, you will be able to step away from that false evidence appearing real. And so, do you accept any of the things that I have been talking about today?
Yes.
Okay. Then place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
I am willing to begin.
Ridding myself of any false evidence appearing real.
Ridding myself of any false evidence appearing real.
In my life.
In my life.
I trust divine guidance.
I trust divine guidance.
And wisdom in my life.
And wisdom in my life.
Now.
Now.
I know my own truth.
I know my own truth.
I deserve all of the good.
I deserve all of the good.
That there could be.
That there could be.
I let go and let God.
Here and now.
I am blessed beyond measure. And I walk in faith.
And so it is.
So just breathe. You have just confirmed that you no longer need to walk in fear unless you choose to. And if you ever get out of sync, be still and know that you can get yourself right back on track.
Oh, and remember that speeding train we talked about earlier? We will never get caught in its path again. And should we will trust the divine wisdom within to help us decide what to do. It's just a matter of trust and of faith. And I'm going to tell you a little story about fears. So as I was putting this talk together, I kind of realized something. I've always had a fear of heights. And it was like, oh. And it was okay. So, you know, I've had this fear of heights, but you know what I realized? I'm fine on an airplane. I'm fine on a roller coaster. As long as my feet are inside the roller coaster car. If my feet are dangling, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my shoes. Or if I'm on an observation tower, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my glasses. The fear was not in the height. It was in lack and limitation. I was going to lose my sight if I lost my glasses or my shoes, you know? Do I not have enough money to buy another pair of shoes? What the heck? So anyway, sometimes it's best to look at our fears and go deeper and find out if those fears are really what we think they are, or they might be something else. So I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Trust your instinct and yourself. Namaste.
Namaste.